Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Grants Pass Gospel Rescue Mission Podcast. I'm your host, Women's Coordinator Monica Conley, and today I will be speaking with current resident Tara Hodges. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She came to us on Thanksgiving Day, not 2023, but 2022. She, one of our RAs brought her home like a little stray cat. She just said, I'm bringing her home. And then that's how we got Tara. And she's getting ready to leave. She's leaving well as she can right now. Her husband is back in Utah and he's pretty sick. And so she's going to go back and be with him and help care for him and see what the future holds from there. So Tara, tell us a little bit about what led you to Grants Pass and how you ended up at the Gospel Rescue Mission.
Well, first of all, two of my kids live here in Oregon. My son lives in Salem and my daughter lives in Medford. So I wanted to move back up here to be closer to my kids and my grandkids. But when my husband and I first came up here, he knows some interesting people, we'll just put it like that. And they were doing illegal things. Mm. So we got caught up in that. I was put on the front page of the paper as stealing cars, which I wasn't, but still guilty by association. Yeah. I ended up going to jail. I had just gotten out of jail when Margie Borges, who is no longer with us, she got to go to heaven, brought me home from next door. So I'm ever so grateful. I don't think I did anything except cry for the first week I was here. Since getting out of jail, I have cleared up all my legal issues. I'm paying on my restitution. I'm off probation, so I'm really proud of that.
I'm really proud of you for that, too. That is no small feat.
I was able to get off probation early, because I was doing all the things that I was supposed to do in a timely fashion.
Yeah, and you built a good relationship with your probation officer, too.
Yes, so that really, really, really nice. Yeah. She's really a good probation officer. She's really into helping her clients, not just making it hard for them.
Right.
Because sometimes they do that, and that's not what Danielle Dickerson is about at all.
No.
She's very receptive to what's going on in your life and how can she help to make your stay with probation easier and make it successful.
So long as you're doing what you need to be doing, right? Mm-hmm. And so much of life is like that there's reward for the pro-social behavior that we're supposed to be learning when we get out of jail and
prison
and all that stuff. It sounds like coming here to the mission, having the structure and things that we had here, really helped you with your supervision, being able to do the things that you needed to do.
Yes.
To complete it.
When I first got here, I had the clothes I had on because we lost everything when they raided where we were staying at. I was able to get my marriage license, my birth certificate, my social security card, my driver's license, all of those things were made possible by the time that I stayed at the mission. I was very grateful for that because, like I said, I didn't have anything. I was wearing leggings, flip-flops, a sweatshirt.
I remember.
And a tank top, and it was cold.
It was cold. Over the time that you've been here, almost a year and a half, in that year and a half, what are some things that you've learned about yourself here?
How resilient I am. How, even though I might not think I'm ready for things, God will help prepare me. It's like going back to face this medical situation with Michael, my husband. I don't know what God has in store. He's in stage 3 cancer, but I know that God will be there. He will be there no matter what way it goes.
Right.
If Michael chooses not to go through chemotherapy and passes away, I know that the Lord will be there with me no matter what happens.
Right.
And that strengthens me. Just knowing that God is here for me and that He loves me, I never really thought about that before. I never really grasped that concept. Oh, yeah, I knew about God, and you know, but I didn't realize just how deeply He cares for us and is a part of everything we do if we believe.
What do you think led you to that realization?
Just being here, being in the Word, being a little bit more saturated, I guess, with not religion, but spirituality, because it is very spiritual here. Because everybody here goes to different churches, and we all get along most of the time. But it's very, you feel God here. You know He's with us when we have chapel, when we have activities and stuff. You can feel the Spirit of the Lord working. You can see Him working in each of us in different ways.
Yeah.
Because we all have different things that we struggle with every day.
Right.
And I'm very grateful for that. I feel like I've really grown a lot as a person, as a wife. When you did Even Exile with us, that was an amazing book to me, because I learned so much of what the Lord wants in a wife.
Yeah.
As well as a woman. It's like, wow, I wasn't doing that.
It's pretty empowering, isn't it?
It is. It's very empowering. And now I have tools that I can go back and help my husband be a better husband, because I can be a better wife now.
Yeah. Yeah. And not just, I mean, it is for our husbands that we want to be better wives, right? But it's, I think one of the key things in Even Exile and just in the Word of God in general is wanting to be better humans for our King.
Yes,
you know?
Absolutely. I want to learn and grow in His Word so that I can be a better person, so that I can help my sisters, so that I can help my family. It's amazing, the turnaround, because there was a long time where I had an attitude of, whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't have that anymore. I'm trying very hard to, like I said, be a better person.
Right. What was the hardest thing about being at the mission? Or what is the hardest thing?
Getting up at 5:30 in the morning. Some days it's really easy. I can roll out of bed and I'm good to go. Other days it's like, oh man, I don't want to get up. And because of the fact that you live with all kinds of different personalities, some of us are morning people, some of us are not. And so sometimes it's really hard to get up and be cheerful and happy and, you know, look at the day like, this is going to be a good day.
Yeah.
And most of the time I can do it. But every once in a while I get in my head of, what's going to happen if, you know, something happens to Michael? What am I going to do? And I let the bad thoughts get a hold of me. And I try very hard not to do that, because I need to be present here until I'm there.
Yeah. And so that the presence, you being present here currently, is not just because you're here physically, right? But also because you've been promoted, you were promoted pretty quickly to a leadership role here. You are a resident assistant and RA. You would be, you're my, aside from Thelma, who is my most senior resident at this point, you're my most senior resident assistant. At this point. So do you think that plays a part in you just needing to be present and being focused?
Yes, absolutely. Because the girls have different problems at different times. And as a resident assistant, you have to be able to empathize and help them with whatever is going on to different levels. I'm responsible for getting everybody's medicine in the morning if I'm on morning shift, or at night if I'm on the night shift. It is a matter of I'm responsible. If I screw this up, somebody could get sick or die right. If I give them the wrong medication. So I have to be present here.
And focused. Present and focused.
Yes, absolutely. I remember when you gave me the RA job, I thought, are you out of your mind? I never thought I was going to be able to do it. And now I'm training people to take my place because I'm leaving, and it's like, yeah, I did pretty good.
You did. And it takes all kinds of people, right? I don't have... I try to make sure that we have a variety of personalities on the desk.
You have to.
You know? We've had some really more stern RAs, and we've had some more...
Laid back
RAs. We've had some that are in the middle, you know? But it takes all kinds of people, right? Because different people see things differently.
Yes.
You know? So I have appreciated having you as an RA. I have appreciated having you as a resident. I have appreciated, and I am honored that I got to watch you grow and that I got to be a part of that. There were many opportunities where I said something that just was like a little cliche thing that I had picked up along the way in my own recovery and in my own life and in my own growth. And then I said it to you, and it was like the light bulb just came on.
Yeah.
You know? And so I'm really grateful that I got to be a part of that for you, and vicariously get to know Michael in a little bit of a way. And
yes.
And you know,
I am very grateful to know you. I sing your praises to everyone that listens. This place has changed my life. I mean, in so many ways, the things that you do, you and Brian and the people that give to the mission and donate, because we don't get any federal money. We are all donations. And people don't realize how much it takes, both physically, mentally, emotionally. I have seen you work a 14-hour day and come back bright and early the next day to do it again if you have to because of something going on. And it's like, you are the person that I emulate. You're my hero. I want to be like you when I grow up.
And I would say that I want to be like you. I learn as much from you guys as I hope that you guys get to learn from me, you know. And the pastor at my church, he used this analogy once. He said, I'm just the dirty tool that God chose to use. And that's absolutely how I feel. I am just, it's not me.
It's
the Lord through me, and I'm just grateful that He continues to find use of me, and that I get to be useful for you guys. So,
you're probably one of the most useful tools that I've ever seen God use, because you do so much.
Well, thank you
for this mission. You and Brian both. I mean, I was kind of scared of Brian the first time I met him. It was like, and now that I've gotten to know him a little bit, he's such a warm, gentle, loving human being. You don't know that to look at him, because he's the head guy, you know. But he's not that way at all. He's very, very warm and wonderful.
Yeah. He loves all of you guys. Mm-hmm. He loves every single one of the residents that comes in here. And you know, he started off as a coordinator here too, so he's fully acquainted with every aspect of the mission, and I'm grateful for him too. So, you're flying.
Yes,
you're flying out. You're leaving next Saturday. Are you worried about anything? Are there any concerns that you have about leaving here and going there? Are there any ways that our community or our listeners could be praying for you?
Yes, please pray. Just to give me the strength to know what's best, the best thing to do for Michael. Because I want what I want, but I don't know if that's what God wants.
Yeah.
And so I'm just praying for strength and wisdom to do what the Lord wants me to do in this situation, because if I had my way, Michael would probably live for another 50 years, but that's not going to work. But so just for strength and wisdom, this is going to be a hard road no matter which way it goes.
Yeah.
And I just want to be loving and kind and gracious and know the right things to do and say to Michael and to all of our friends that, and family that are going to be kind of on the outskirts of this.
Yeah. And so my next question is not meant in any way to trivialize the experience of, you know, your husband has stage 3 cancer at all. Do you think, you had mentioned previously, there's a lot of different personalities here.
Mm-hmm.
And waking up in the morning is hard to be cheerful every morning, and some days it's hard. Do you think that your stay here and having to push through some hard days and having to find ways to get along with other people, do you feel like that has in some ways prepared you to be able to help Michael through this, help friends and family through this?
Absolutely. Because the people here that live in this house come from all walks of life and all different scenarios, and they're in different places in their walk with the Lord. So yes, I have family that, my brother's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God.
Yeah.
I keep telling him, boy, aren't you going to be surprised? Because that's how I feel. He thinks that once we're dead, that's it.
Yeah.
Boy, aren't you going to be surprised? But I believe because of having to be here and push through and keep going, it's going to help me when I get there in the darkest moments. Because even if Michael does do chemo, he's going to be way sick. He's going to be miserable. If he's on painkillers, he's going to be mean because he just is. He doesn't do painkillers well. But he's clean and sober, and that in itself is a miracle.
Yeah.
He recently
started going back to church, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, I just told him, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. If you want to do it, great. If you don't, sad face for you. I'm going anyway. And he finally has figured out that I don't want to be a criminal. I'm not equipped.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not very good at it, or I wouldn't have ended up in jail in the first place. I don't want that lifestyle.
Yeah.
I want to be a grandma. I want to, like, spoil my grandkids and go camping and do fun stuff.
And as hard as it is to live a normal lifestyle, like what we would consider normal would be what? Like, we're talking having a job, having your own place, not committing crimes, and not doing drugs, right?
Yes.
That's the life that we're wanting to do. And and when you think about living that life, it's so much easier than living the criminal lifestyle.
Oh, I'm telling you. I can talk to the police now and not have to worry about it. You know? They're not looking for me.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It is. And I'm grateful. Yeah. I am so grateful that I can laugh about it and I can be in a place where I don't have to worry that if a policeman comes to the door, they're looking for me.
Right.
Because they're not. Yeah. You know, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. So it's all good.
Yeah. And it's kind of nice to be, it's nice to not have to look over your shoulder. It's nice to not have to
worry about
all that stuff, you know, and to have like fines and fees paid off means that you have less debt that you have, you know, and I know that you're still carrying a little bit of that with you when you go, but you're on the right track to getting it paid off. And that's really what it's all about. It's just chipping at it, chipping away at it.
Yeah.
And that's, I kind of feel like that's how we do all of the things. You know, we chip away at learning how to have boundaries. We start practicing them. We start maintaining them. We chip away at learning how to communicate well, which you kind of have to learn how to do a little quickly here because of all the people, you know. I think two of my favorite phrases that I've used in the house that you'll probably recognize pretty quickly, feelings aren't facts, and unconditional love doesn't mean unconditional tolerance.
You said that to me, and it was like I got hit between the eyes with a board. It was like, that's it. I can tell that to Michael. That's it. One of the first things that I remember that you asked me once was, how do you eat an elephant?
Mm-hmm.
And I told you, one bite at a time. And that's kind of life.
Yeah.
You just, one bite at a time, one step at a time, some days 1 minute at a time.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we can do.
That's all we can do at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Just one bite at a time. And sometimes it's a nibble.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not a very big bite, but at least you're still working at
moving forward. So if there was somebody on our streets or in our parks or anywhere else in the world, United States or whatever, that was thinking, you know, I need someplace to go, someplace safe, what would you tell them about coming here?
Oh, this place is amazing. The people are so wonderful here. They will take you in. They will not judge you. They will help you with all of the things that you need help with. Your medication, getting hooked up with help, clothing. I wanted a pair of Nike tennis shoes my whole life, and I finally have some because I got a voucher to go get some clothes. And all of the things that a homeless person struggles with can be remedied here. You're fed, you're clothed, you're warm, you're loved. Above everything, you're loved. This place will take you in, and they will not judge you. And they will help you to understand what kinds of things that you need. But yeah, I mean, even if you have children, they are integrated into this house. We love the kids. We take care of the kids. Anybody that's homeless, I would recommend, come to the mission. They will help you. If you need a birth certificate, if you need identification, if you need to get housing lists done, anything that you need, the people at the mission will help you with. And they will do it lovingly and empathetically. You're never judged, no matter what you've done or where you come from, which was a big thing for me because I was thinking, these people are never going to want me to be in there. I'm a criminal. I've been to prison. I used to be a dope runner. Ooh. And I never felt like that when I got here. The people that were here were so loving and so generous and so wonderful to me that I never once felt like one of them.
Yeah, you know? Like ostracized, set aside, like you were an outsider.
Icky.
Yeah.
Ooh, you're icky. You can't come.
Yeah.
That's not how you feel when you live here at all, ever.
Now, so the thought that pops up in my head is, did you still feel that way even when I had to ask you to do hard things? Because not all the time, so we do 30-day reviews. We do monthly reviews because our program is a Pathway to Independence program. And so every month we do reviews. And some of the tasks I would give you each month were pretty easy tasks, but there were other things that we would talk about that were harder things that I would ask you to do. Was it really hard to hear those things? Was it hard to follow through with them?
Sometimes. It's really hard when you get close to someone and they have done something to the point where they are asked to leave. It's really hard to pack someone's things so that they have to leave knowing that they might not be able to come back for 30 days, or maybe they might not get to come back at all for different reasons. That was hard. It wasn't hard to do it, but it was hard on my heart.
Yeah.
But I know that it's hard on your heart. And so I didn't feel like I was so alone, because the rules are here for a reason. I mean, the safety of the other people that live in this house, you and I and the other residents and the other RAs have to make sure that the other people, and especially the children in this house, are safe.
Yeah.
And if somebody is doing something to make the other residents or the children in this house unsafe, they need to leave.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to say, hey, I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm going to have to ask you to leave because you weren't following the rules, or you're putting people in jeopardy.
Right.
But I see you do it and how it hurts you. You're not cold-hearted at all. And so when I would see you have to ask somebody to leave, and it just, it eats at you.
Mm-hmm.
And you were very loving and gentle with the way that that had to go about. And so when I had to do it, I tried to be the same.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to do this, but I have to do this.
It's that unconditional love.
Yeah.
Does not mean unconditional tolerance. It's telling somebody, you know, you're responsible for your actions,
mm-hmm.
and you are free to make whatever choice you want to make, but you're not free from the consequences of that choice.
Yeah.
So whether those consequences are good consequences or whether
bad.
They're bad consequences, you know? So,
mm-hmm.
so on a personal level, was there anything that I ever asked you to do personally, not as an RA, but just you as a person? Was there anything that I asked you to do that you thought was too hard?
When you asked me to be an RA, I was scared to death. I did not think in any way, shape, or form that I was ready to do that. I thought, this woman has lost her mind. But as I started to do it and as I started to grow into it, I thought, yeah, I can do this. I got this.
Yeah.
And it made me a better person because you asked me to be an RA. Because, like we said, there's a lot of people that are different personalities in this house. And as an RA, I'm like the front lines, you know? And not everybody has a good attitude all the time.
No.
And so you get to learn, okay, so-and-so's really having a bad day. Let's, like, have a little grace, show a little, you know, even a hug, because I've done that. It's like, you just don't look like you're having a good day. Can I give you a love?
Mm-hmm.
And then it all starts to pour out, and it's like, oh man, I'm really sorry, you know, but let me see what I can do. Let me see if I can help you somehow.
Yeah.
And that's all we can do as people.
Yeah.
Even.
Yeah. So you talked a little bit about the things that you were able to accomplish while you were here. And I think the one, well, I know that the thing that is going to probably be the last thing that you get before you leave here are your new pearlies.
I know. I have been without teeth since before Thanksgiving. I'm sick of looking like this. It's really hard because I like to smile and laugh and giggle, and I don't feel comfortable because I don't have any teeth. So,
well, I'm glad that you still do laugh, because I still do hear you in the house laughing and giggling and having fun and smiling, and I'm grateful that you still do, that you haven't let that, you know, because the hope is it's not hope that you're going to get your teeth. You're going to get your teeth. They're coming, right?
Yeah.
They're in the mail.
Yeah.
So not literally.
I hope.
They're on their way. So the plan is for you to get them next week before you go.
Mm-hmm.
But even in having not had your teeth and waiting so long for them, you have still been such a bright, shining light. You have been an inspiration to one of our other gals who is in need of getting her teeth, and you have really helped just her watching you. And I don't know if you know this, so I'm uncovering her without uncovering her.
Yeah.
Is she watches you, and as much as you say that I have inspired you, you are an inspiration to the other women in the house, because they come to me and they tell me about it. And this particular woman, watching you go through what you've been going through with your teeth, has given her the strength to be able to do the same thing. So as scared as she is to do it, and as scared as you were to do it, she finds strength in knowing, hey, it can be done. She did it. Tara did it. I can do it. So,
and it probably won't take her as long.
Maybe not, because it was not the best timing to have your teeth pulled right before the holidays.
No.
But, you know, it is what it is, and we just kind of go with it, and it's those baby steps and those bites of the elephant.
Yeah.
So that's all we can do. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about? We talked a little bit about what led you here. We talked about why you're leaving. Is there anything else that you would like to tell everybody that we haven't covered?
I really don't think so, because about the only thing that I would tell someone is, if you're homeless or in need of a place to stay, this is the place. Like I said, the people here are so wonderful to you. They don't judge you. You won't feel ostracized or like you're nothing or icky or anything like that. You will be loved and cherished and made whole.
Yeah, and helped.
In this place.
And helped. That's the goal.
Yeah.
So.
And it's working. I'm living proof that it works.
All right. Well, that about does it for another episode of the Grants Pass Gospel Rescue Mission podcast. I want to thank our guest, Tara Hodges, for spending some time with me today. And if you enjoyed what you've heard today, share it with a friend. If you want to learn about getting involved with the mission, maybe becoming a volunteer, or if you need more information on how you can support our programs, head over to our website at grantspassmission.org. Thanks again for listening, and have a great rest of your day.